Welcome to TJH, your go-to podcast for all things journeying home to yourself. I'm your host, Hayley Curtis, Gene Keys and Women's Transformation Guide, here to encourage and usher you into remembering who you are by peeling back the veil on all things shadow work, self-love, self-worth, relationships, Gene Keys, breakthrough, awakening, and so much more. One thing I know to be true about you is that you are utterly magnificent. And here at the Journey Home podcast, I will be walking hand in hand with you as you discover and remember your magic. Let the voyage begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Journey Home podcast. We're doing something a little bit different. Instead of having weekly ponders for the next little while, as I am in the midst of moving country, right now I am 7 days, 8 days away from flying out. I'm leaving New Zealand. I'm heading back to Australia. And it's going to be, you know, an outwardly busy season of my life. And so instead of my weekly ponders, we have decided, Megan and I, who I have here with me today, have decided.
Hello, everybody.
We're going to do mini episodes answering questions that the women inside the Journey Home membership have asked. So quite a few months ago, I popped up a post, which sits there as a featured post always, where the women get to post questions they would like to hear answered on the podcast. And there are so many delicious questions that have been asked, and I haven't gotten to any of them yet. So I thought, why not do a series where we will take one question per episode and answer them? Because, you know, when one of us has a question, so often all of us are asking the same question at some point. And I didn't want to do it on my own. I just wanted Megan's energy with me. So I was like, Megan, come on, let's do these questions together. So Megan will ask them, I'll answer them, and then Megan will add her wisdom as well, and we'll just see where they take us. These might be really short episodes. Some of them, I'm sure, will be very short ones. Some might be a bit longer. So come along for the ride with us. How are you, Megan? You've just had a shift in life. Do you want to share with the listeners what's happening in your life at the moment?
Absolutely. I have a new puppy in our household. He came. His name is Merlin. He is a red heeler. And he came into our life a week ago on Sunday. And I have been a baby mom now for a whole week. And it's turned my life upside down and inside out. And wow. Yeah. It's been exciting and fun and very loving, and it's been great.
So amazing. I mean, that puppy phase, sometimes we're like, I wish they could stay puppies forever, but do we really want them to stay puppies forever?
No, please.
They are so full on when they're a puppy. Thankfully, the puppy phase isn't as long as the human child phase, and they thought the same thing.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought, you know, I'm a little old for this because I, you know, he came from a litter of eight and I just wanted him to feel comfortable in our house. So I sit on the floor a lot with him so he can sit on me and roll around on me and all of that. Well, I'm 67 and I have two fake hips. So, you know, it's not the easiest move in the world to get up off of there. So I'll be glad. I'll be glad when we get to the next phase of puppyhood.
You're experiencing a whole new season of transformation. And, you know, this is something we've been talking about lately because, you know, you can be in this season of deep inner work where you're like journaling and contemplating and making art and just spending all of your time really introspective. And then other seasons of life, it's like my life is consumed by a puppy for these few weeks, but that's no different in terms of the inner transformation that's available to us. It's just such a different essence. And yeah, I love that. I love these shifts in seasons and these big changes and the unsettling nature that this creates in our life where our routine is changed and our comforts suddenly, we can't do those anymore. And I feel like they can be the most transformative. So, it's an exciting season to be in. Who should we do our first
Yes,
question. This is.
let me read you the very first question that came up when you first posted this. And this question is from Christine. And she says, I live mostly in my head with occasional visits to my heart. And my body is a vehicle to get me around. And unless it's having a reaction to something, it gets very rare attention. How do I move from head to heart to body? Can you be all three at once? Are there times it's best to be in your head, body, or heart, say in decision making or problem solving?
Wow. What a fantastic question. I feel like this relates to, I'm sure everyone will relate to that in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, the question, can we be in all three at once? Yes. Yes, I believe that we can be. But for a lot of us, a lot of the time, we just feel like we're in our mind. You know, that can take over. And we see this. I mean, this is very related to the Jean Keys transmission, right, Megan, where a lot of the shadows are very mind dominant. And then as you shift into the gift frequency, it's where you shift for the heart to be the one that is speaking the loudest. Doesn't mean that the mind is bad. Doesn't mean that the mind is wrong. It's just when the mind is the only thing speaking and when the mind is in control and calling the shots, this is what opens us up to worry, to anxiety, to overthinking, to like overanalyzing, to not being able to sleep, to being exhausted, to just being like, oh, I'm feeling suffocated by my own life when we really get stuck in our minds in that way. And then, of course, the body element. I think especially as women, we can become so detached from our bodies. Sometimes we sort of leave that body around 12, 13 years old, and we might not return, right? We might not return until much later in life, or for some people, never. And that disconnect with the body has a lot to do with wounding patterns and experiences in life and our body image and that connection. And so I really believe that that move from head to heart massively helps in reconnecting with your body. Right. I'm not sure if
I
you would think the same. Yeah. Yeah.
I do.
Because when you're still massively in your mind is the one that's bullying your body anyway. And so to try and just shift into connecting with your body through your mind can be very difficult. Whereas as you make the shift from mind to heart space, the heart space loves your body. That heart frequency, as you really tune in there, man, you realize that, oh my gosh, I'm so connected to my body. I always have been. It was just my mind that was trying to tell me that I wasn't, right? And so where do I want to take my answer to this question? Sort of explain the three.
Well,
what do you think, Megan?
Well, her question really is, how do I move from my heart, head to my heart? How, you know, that's, and I've heard that also from another person I've been talking to. How do I get out of my head? And
I think that probably, you know, the one of the first steps or the first seasons, you know, because this is not like a three-step process that you do in a day.
No.
This is an over time thing. Because our minds are so dominant, I think the most important thing to do is to start bringing some understanding to what's going on in your mind. So instead of just being like, my mind's wrong, I need to escape it, let me get into my heart. It's like, no, let's first like really look at, well, what is actually going on in my mind? You know, and this is really where I began with my journey. I think this is where we all begin. You know, if you start journaling or you start contemplating, what you're really doing is being like, okay, I've got all of these thoughts going on and my mind is running rampant. Let me start sifting through some of these thoughts. Let me start seeking to understand what my mind is doing and why it's doing it. And that's really the beginning of the journey. Especially if you're feeling very anxious and there's a lot of worry. That was like me at the beginning of my journey. I was so anxious that I felt like I couldn't get a clear thought. It was like my mind was just like all of, I saw it as all these butterflies flying around in my mind, and they were all each a thought, but they were flying so fast that I couldn't even see one for long enough to know what even that thought was. I just knew it was making me feel like shit. And so the start of my journey, I visualized myself with a little net, and I was in my own mind, like catching one butterfly at a time. You know, like I think there was a game I used to play as a kid where you'd have like a net and you'd catch butterflies. So I would catch a butterfly. And so when I'd catch a thought, I'd put it down on the page. And then I'd be like, okay, let me seek to understand that thought. And as I would capture one thought at a time and understand it, it started to quieten down a little bit in there, right? I started to see like, oh, I'm thinking that thought because of that experience that I had, or I'm thinking that thought and that's actually not true. I don't have to hold on to that anymore. And so there was this clearing out of my mind a little bit to begin with. And once I had cleared out, just calmed the anxiety, calmed the hectic, the chaos of my mind, then the journey into the heart really began because I just needed some a little bit of clarity. Then that journey into the heart becomes this beautiful balance between that practice of still looking after your mind, of recognizing your thoughts and seeking to understand them, holding space for them. It's okay that I'm thinking this, and being curious. And then on the other hand, being on this journey of opening your heart up more, which happens naturally as you're digging into this stuff from your mind. It's like you are returning to your heart. That's where the truth is. But also you can do these practices where you actually visualize your heart opening up, where you start to tune into the frequency of your heart space. Because even if you're not feeling connected to yourself, and even if life feels like absolute shit, you will still be able to tune into this frequency of unconditional love that lays inside of you. And that's a practice. And so that's something that you can devote yourself to, that maybe every morning it's part of your practice where 5 minutes you just sort of conjure up the feeling in that heart space. And then definitely, I think, for me anyway, and it's probably the same for you, Megan, working with my gene keys was my main portal from head to heart. It really revealed for me the specific pathways that I needed to take from head to heart. And it showed me those gifts that laid in my heart that were worth walking for, that were worth sitting with this stuff for.
Yeah.
And as I've done that, well, then my body has started to come in as part of the mix. One of the best ways, I think, to connect with your body is to channel right from your body. And I do this myself quite a lot, and I've had clients do this, and it's been very impactful, where if you're not feeling connected, put pen to paper and say, what does my body want to say right now? And start writing as if you were just your body speaking. Okay. And she's so full of wisdom, and just starting a conversation with your body. You know, because when's the last time we asked our body what she thinks or how she feels or what she wants to say? And from this channeling practice, what I've found is that when I give my body space to talk, she is always so soft and loving and gentle. And she's so full of like gratitude and wisdom and awe and wonder. But we have to create the space to let her speak. Otherwise, when the mind is just speaking all of the time without these other parts of us, it can start to get harsh. And that's not the mind's true nature either. It's just the mind's true nature when it's the one that's in charge. When the heart is what comes first, the mind actually becomes this beautiful place that is expressing the truth of the heart instead of, yeah.
Okay, so where do you put emotions in this equation? I know Christine didn't mention it, but emotions are a huge driving force of humans. Do you put the emotions with the mind?
Yeah, so a thought fuels an emotion, not emotion fueling a thought, right? So we think something which causes us to feel something. When we're feeling something on that deeper level, sometimes that can be more like intuition coming through, or, you know, our astral body kind of like moving through. But in terms of, you know, our day-to-day emotions, yeah, I would say thoughts fuel those. And so as we start to sift through this stuff happening in our mind, what happens is the way we feel starts to shift.
Yes.
Because say I was having a thought of Hayley moving to Australia is going to be terrible, like you're going to regret it, you're going to hate it. If I was having that thought, well, then my emotions would be really fucking rocky. But if I grabbed that thought, which I have not had this thought, by the way, it's just an example. If I grabbed that thought and then I was seeking to understand it, and then I was like, actually, that's not true. You are safe. This is going to be an adventure. This is going to be your next expansion. Then my emotion would shift to excitement, anticipation. I'd feel more calm inside. And so I feel like that's where emotions sort of fit in.
Yes. Mm. Okay.
What's your experience been like with this? Of
I was thinking about it in terms of meditation because I'm not a journaler, but I basically started meditation in order to handle chronic pain, and chronic pain is actually, in a sense, can be thought driven. So meditation was a way for me to understand that I had thoughts, but that the thoughts are not who I am.
Yeah.
They are something I have, but they don't, you know, I don't have to listen to the thoughts. You know, I like your idea of capturing the thoughts and putting them down. But there's also a school of thought that you just let the thoughts be like a cloud and let them disperse.
Yeah.
And I think there's a place for both.
Yes.
Because sometimes we can have circling thoughts that just won't stop. And sometimes they can be let go. But again, if those are circling, maybe they need to be written down so you get some kind of resolution. And as you said, the gene keys are marvelous at being able to identify which ones of those thoughts might be your shadow patterns that need to be addressed, you know. So along this journey of the meditation, this meditation journey, first of all, it helped enormously with chronic pain. And I highly recommend Headspace and their chronic pain series of meditations. It helped me enormously. But what it also did is help me understand that emotions are also like thoughts in that they don't define me. I am not my emotions. They are just something that can move through me, just like thoughts can move through me. The thoughts I think of more as air, and the emotions are more like water, and I can let them go, you know? And I, as for the body part, I am still working on that one, you know, really moving into my body. And as I've spoken to you this week, having a puppy in the house has really emphasized that, you know, it's a very physical activity to have a dog, you know, I'm always taking him outside, even in the middle of the night, or we're going for walks, or we're playing on the ground, and really embodying myself here and now in the now has been a little bit of a challenge for me, and it's coming up this week. So I'm still working on that body part, Christine, just so you know.
And I think that the journey of a head, heart, body is it's a never ending journey. Right.
So
because
too.
even when you've like fully understood a thought or a shadow pattern and you felt it shift, you've just made space for the next one.
That's right. That's true.
Now I get to go to the next layer. You know, this, it's not like suddenly you've just got your mind sorted and then life is just blissful cruising. You just get better at it, though.
Yes, you do. You know, get a lot better at it.
Really,
oh my gosh.
Do.
Yeah.
It was so difficult for me in the beginning.
Yes.
You know, and I want to acknowledge that. I want to acknowledge the fact that when you first, especially if you're in a rock bottom moment of life, it depends. We all come to the inner work at different moments of our lives. You know, I was at a rock fucking bottom moment when I came to the inner work. So I was having anxiety attacks every day. Like my mind was running rampant. I hated my body. When I first started the inner work, I would get undressed. I would hide myself from the mirror to get in the shower because if I caught a glimpse of myself, I would just break down and I would just cry. And I hated washing my body in the shower because it hurt. And, you know, I was in a bad, bad place. And so when I'm saying, like, here I was capturing these thoughts, like, this was broken me, just capturing a little something, being like, okay, like I can't allow these to keep ruling my life. And that's what I love what you said there, Megan, about, you know, sometimes it, you can just allow it to be there because, it was when our mind is running the show, we are allowing our thoughts or our emotions to dictate our lives, to tell us who we are, to, you know, and we fall victim to them. And so, yes, we can understand them. And if they are recurring ones, I think it is important to seek to understand them or be curious about them at least. But sometimes that thought or that emotion will come up and you'll just be like, look, it's okay that you're there, but I'm not going to make you mean something about who I am or where I'm going or what I'm here for. And the moment that you sort of accept that, it starts to melt away anyway, doesn't it?
Well, and I, you know, that just made me think that I think at that point you've engaged your heart then.
Yes,
because that's have. your heart is talking then when your heart is able to say, oh, I hear you bitchy, horrible, complaining thought about me. And you know what? It's not true. And you could be there. Go ahead. You could be there, but you know, you're not ruling my life.
Yeah.
That's when that heart
is
has
the heart
finally
thing.
Engaged in. Yeah. And it is I'm not even going to say it's a long journey because for everyone, it's going to be totally different.
Yes.
And all of the people who are listening right now and who ask these questions are already on the journey.
Oh,
so
yeah.
they're already somewhere on this continuum of engaging the heart. All of you are. Yeah. And so just, you know, it's nice to celebrate where you are. You're listening right now. That's amazing. Your heart is already that much more open, you know, and patience, just having that patience with yourself and you go, oh yeah, there goes that head again. Holy shit. I'm going to be a failure as a puppy mom. Oh, there it goes again. I'm going to be a failure as a puppy mom. Oh, well, you know, that's a thought. And you know what? Yeah, you're unimportant because I'll be whatever I am as a puppy mom. It's safe to be a puppy mom.
Yeah.
And it's safe to feel like I'm going to be a failure.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Okay.
And that's you taking your power back because you're saying, look, I hear that thought. I can either choose to subscribe to that and you can see where that path will take you, or I could choose to be like, you're just a thought and it's okay that you're there, but I'm not going to subscribe to you. We see two very different paths being forged, and that is a moment of taking back your power. That is a moment of that's actually a moment of being in your body, right? It's a moment of presence.
Yes.
It's a moment of like, ooh, I'm here. I'm a person. And all of these things make up who I am. And I have a choice. You know, like, I feel like, I mean, this is a long question to answer because I feel like it is like one of the questions of life.
It is.
Right?
This is a big one.
It's the journey that we're all on. And, you know, I think the final piece I'd like to say is that I already said this, but I want to reiterate it. The mind is not bad, right?
Correct.
The mind
That's
is not bad. If we looked at the mind and the heart in terms of life, you would say, okay, the mind is the yang and the heart is the yin. So it would be like the mind is the male, the heart is the female. Does that mean that all yang and all male is bad? Hell no. Yin and yang are equal value. They're equal worth. They're equal love. They're just, they are both delicious. However, in the laws of life and the laws of the universe, even though they're equal, yin must come first for there to be harmony. Because when yang comes first, so when the mind comes first, it just dominates the heart. And we don't end up following the path that we're destined to follow. Whereas when the heart comes first with its dreams, with its unconditional love, you know, when love is the root, then the mind can serve the heart and do incredible things. Your mind is the most fascinating thing about you. It is, you have your own supercomputer in your fucking head. And then another one Yes. down in your solar plexus as well. And when it's in service to the heart, you give it access to its intelligence, where it's not just about intellect and knowing things and facts. Your mind can do things so far beyond just intellect, but it does it when you start opening your heart, right? And so the role of your mind, your mind takes on a completely different role as you go deeper and deeper on this inward journey, as you feel the shift starting to happen, as the heart really starts to kick in. And then the mind is like, ooh, now I can be really creative. And from that feeling of love I just experienced, I want to do this with it. Instead of there not being any experience of love and the mind is like, how do I fix this? How do I find love? How do I feel better about myself? How do I be better than them? Whereas when love is the seed, the mind is like, oh my God, I can do my thing now. I can play, you know, creativity is God at play. And that Yes. happens when the heart expands and the mind takes that and turns it into something amazing, right? And so that's where we're headed. And that's what we start to experience as we get curious with ourselves, as we start to hold space for our emotions and our thoughts, and we start to realize, okay, the way that it's been, it doesn't actually have to be that way. I get a say in this. And just that openness, open-mindedness, open-heartedness can help. And so the last thing I'm going to leave everyone with, and Christine with, who asked this question, is on the Triple Flame app, the soft heart, open mind meditation, right? The soft heart, open mind meditation. When you go onto the app, it's a free app. You have to download it. It's bloody amazing. If you just go to guided and use the 10-minute guided one, you'll get a version of this. Or you can go into journeys and there's a slightly longer version called soft heart, open mind.
And in truth, you can do the 3-minute version.
You can. There is a 3-minute.
I have done a 3-minute
version
as well.
Yeah.
You know, after you maybe have done the 10-minute one a couple of times and got the real feel for it, the 3-minute one, if that's all time you've got, that'll help you.
The first time I did that 10-minute meditation, I remember laying there, I had my eyes closed, and I was like, oh my God, I've never felt this before. It was just, it guided you straight into that feeling.
Well, and I think it actually also helps you get a partnership feeling from the two.
Yes.
You really feel this partnership between the heart and the head when you really just let the meditation wash over you.
Absolutely. And then even the body, because then Richard guides you in not just opening your mind as in your head, but then you open your mind through every cell in your body, because it's all intelligent and it's all taking in life. And it's a beautiful feeling, and something that will really encourage you on your path and just open you up to seeing life in a completely different way. So thank you so much, Christine, for that beautiful question. And that was episode one of our Q&A series. I hope you join us next Monday for episode two. Thank you, Megan, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today. It is such an honor to bring my heart directly to your ears. the TJH podcast is in her early days. So if you could take a quick moment to leave a rating on Spotify or write a review on Apple Podcasts, I would be extremely grateful. And if you enjoyed the episode, I encourage you to share it with a friend to help spread the Journey Home message far and wide across the globe. I deeply appreciate you, and I will chat to you again very soon.